Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week, with the lead coordinating minister for the government's response into the Christchurch Attack Royal Commission, as well as the Health and Treaty Negotiations Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the counter-terrorism hui, which was held in Christchurch earlier this week, and his thoughts on the controversial They Are Us movie. But I began by talking about the Crown's new strategy towards fast-tracking Takutai Moana claims, and I began by asking the minister, what is that?
We've had the legislation obviously in place for some time, and under the legislation, the Marine and Coastal Area Act, iwi and hapu and whānau had until April 2017 to lodge their claims. They could either lodge them with the High Court or lodge them with the government. Many lodged them with both, but the upshot was we have about 380-odd claims for parts of the coastline across all parts of New Zealand where various claims have been made. Both the High Court and, frankly, the government, the Crown, have been struggling to work out what is the best way to process all these claims. The High Court's been scheduling hearings. They've really only heard two significant cases on claims. They've got two more, I think, scheduled for later this year, but that is how slow it's going. Admittedly, these first two cases were covered off some important points of law that had to be clarified. But in terms of the Crown, we really haven't made a great deal of progress at all. And so we did a big review last year, Te Ara Whiti, the part of the government that's responsible for all of this, did this extensive consultation with iwi and hapu and whānau last year and got this overwhelming feedback that, a lot of the parties, they need more help, more resources to assist with their research and putting their case together. Secondly, that actually most of them want to engage with the Crown. They actually don't want to have to go through the court process. They prefer to engage with the Crown because they prefer a negotiation. But thirdly, the way we're going at the moment, it would literally take us nearly 100 years to get through all the claims. And they said that's just not good enough, and we need to have a much more expeditious process. So we said, as a response to that, okay, you know what, we're not going to require everybody to stand in an orderly queue. We will engage with all groups covering all parts of the coastline. We'll break the coastline into 20 sections, but we'll start to engage with all groups. Some are more ready than others, but obviously there are some who are not so. But we will engage with everybody. We'll add resourcing to it so people can get their research done, get their preparation done. This means that we can actually get through the claims as lodged. We expect anywhere between 10 and 20 years, which is certainly better than 100 years, but still, you know, for a lot of people, it's still a long time, but people are more accepting of that.
So basically, the change is, instead of dealing who comes first, you're dealing with 20 sections at the same time.
That's pretty much it. You said in a few words, but it took me about 5 minutes to say that. That's right.
But how do you determine the importance of each section, though?
Well, that's the big challenge, and that's what the recent court case, it's called the Edwards case on a Whakatoia claim, a hapu from Whakatoia had made a claim, and the court went through what the legislation says and what was expected and how it was to be determined. They came up with this notion for the first time of shared exclusivity. So, you know, some claims are for exclusive rights, and the court was saying actually that's probably not going to be possible, but it certainly is possible to say of a particular area of coastline that multiple iwi or hapu have particular rights and interests in it, but only those groups that can establish they have those rights will have those rights, and they describe that as shared exclusivity. So I think that's a principle now that will become established.
Okay, moving on to my second topic for today. It's about the counter-terrorism hui in Christchurch that concluded yesterday. Now the conference has ended. Did it achieve what the government intended to be?
Yeah, by and large, it did actually. It was always the beginning of a process, and this is it came out of the Royal Commission of Inquiry's recommendations. It said, that as a country, we need to lift our public discussion about national security issues, including about terrorism and counter-terrorism, and actually increase understanding, but also engage the community and engage all sorts or all. Communities, you know, faith communities, ethnic communities, particularly those, you know, who are vulnerable to the sort of terrorist attacks that we have seen here and see around the world. So in terms of getting the dialogue underway, look, I thought it was really good. I was there for the first day of it. I thought everybody there was really well engaged. I thought there were some excellent presentations and good panel discussions, good question and answer sessions. So from my point of view, from the government's point of view, very pleased with it. But we all accept that this is just the start. We plan to have these annually now, these sorts of engagements. But it's a start through that conversation and also to a spur to getting some scholarship going, some New Zealand scholarship on terrorism and counter-terrorism and national security threats.
Okay. Particularly on the first day of the conference, though, we have Juliet Moses from the Jewish Council making comments about Hezbollah and the Muslim community that led to a walkout. Did you, you weren't on the second day of the conference, but do you think it could have affected the atmosphere or the dialogue for the second day?
Well, what I did observe was that after that had happened, with the help of a bit of my Te Ahuriri tikanga, everybody stopped. Come out and said, look, you know, let's just stop and have a cup of tea. So we all stopped to have a cup of tea. There was a bit of dialogue, and we resumed after the afternoon tea session. And there was some, I think, very dignified presentations made, responses made from the Muslim community about what had just been said. And then that carried on. And then later we had the dinner at a different venue in town. And actually, you know, members of the Jewish community, members of the Muslim community, including those who were involved in the events of that afternoon, sat around the table and had kai together and spoke together and talked. And that was very much, I think, the spirit of the conference. The walkout was for a five-minute period of time. It allowed a bit of a breather, allowed some discussions to go on between people, and then the conference resumed, I think, with a sense of great dignity. And, you know, and as everybody said, and after that, after the events, said, look, this is all about us seeking a path to peace, our own peace in our own land, and a land that has had its own troubled past. And I think that's the spirit in which people were there, and it was evident at the dinner on the Tuesday night. And the reports I've had is that it pretty much pervaded the sense of the conference yesterday.
Right, but looking back onto their comments, do you think it's inappropriate for Juliet Moses to make a comment about WhatsApp about Hezbollah when the conference is about counter-terrorism and extremism in New Zealand?
Yeah, look, she said what she said. She's going to have to reflect on whether or not that was the right thing and the right time to say that. I think I think what I would reflect on is that group of 300 people was probably the most diverse group on any major public policy issue that we've ever seen that had been brought together. And they were talking about a reasonably controversial issue, which is, you know, a national security issue, and it's about terrorism and counter-terrorism. And the idea that we would get through 2 days and there wouldn't be disagreement, and look, there was plenty of disagreement, or for that matter, even inappropriate remarks. I don't think anybody ever expected that there wouldn't be disagreement, and there was. And the great thing was the way the conference attendees actually dealt with it, which was very constructive. And in the spirit of the whole gathering, the hui, which was actually, this is a pathway to peace. We're trying to find a way to ensure peace in our land.
Okay. The two-day conference, I've got some conclusions out of that, saying online hate intensified after the attack, Muslim women don't trust authorities to keep them safe, and social media companies are still behind on how to handle or moderate online hate. So what can we see from the government after this hui?
So in terms of the social media platforms, there's the ongoing work of the Christchurch Call, and that will continue. And that's an international problem. Every country is complaining that there's limited scope to take action unless you have the cooperation and agreement with the social media platform owners. So that work is ongoing. In terms of what we do in New Zealand, look, there is an ongoing program of work. I think the next major thing, which will be in the next couple of weeks, is that the Oversight Advisory Group, that was, again, another recommendation of the Royal Commission, we've now put that together. That group will have its first meeting, and that group will, I think, have a very important role to play, to not only oversee us putting in place the recommendations, but actually the longer term and the deeper work of, you know, what is it that we're doing to ensure a greater sense of safety and security for all New Zealand citizens and residents, no matter, you know, how long they've been here and where they've come from.
Would this also influence the Intelligence and Security Act review?
The group will have an opportunity, if they want to have an input into that. I expect they will want to, and that review will get underway soon. It's a pretty thoroughgoing review. It's looking at the legislation. The Security Intelligence Agencies and the police themselves have their own external reference groups in place. They had them in place to a greater or lesser degree before March 2019, but I think they've been prompted to make sure that the groups they've got meet the current expectations and current needs, and that stuff is happening at the moment too.
Okay, my final question, just a quick one on this. What do you think about the They Are Us movie?
Yeah, I just thought it was really badly handled, really badly timed. I think it's pretty clear that the Muslim community in Christchurch is still feeling very raw about what happened. And, you know, in my discussions with many of the families in the last 6 months of the victims and the victims themselves is that they still need time to grieve and to come to terms. I think it's interesting the number of times in the conversations I had, people said, look, we've been doing all our grief in public. We actually just need some time to ourselves and to grieve in our own way, in our own private sort of way. And I think, you know, then organising a movie that puts more examination on it, I think was just really, really poor form by the producers. And, I think the reaction from the community has been the right one, but was actually predictable once you knew how they were feeling and had been feeling for some months.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.